Everybody doing? Good. Great day today, isn't it? Sun's shining, temperature's down just a little bit. Yeah, it's lovely. Any big plans for Father's Day? Yeah? Special meal today? Something like that? She's taking you out? All right. You like to eat? So we got some opportunities there. Be sure and honor your dad today. That's what it's all about. Well, we've been in a series here for a little while talking about principles of praise. I think today's going to be our last day. And by the way, God willing, next week we're going to have some special music here with Phil Haig. How many remember Phil Haig? He is the harmonica player that is, he's fantastic. Okay? Even if you're not a big harmonica fan, you'll just love him because he's so good. I mean, he's just really good. And so hopefully next week that'll all come together. We've been talking about principles of praise. You know, and the Bible repeatedly says, praise the Lord. And it's a command for us. We should praise God, right? And there's purpose and there's power in praise and there's various practices of praise. But we understand that really authentic praise comes when we really give ourselves fully to God. That's really the heart and nature of praise. And then last week we talked about when we really recognize who God is and remember who we are, it stirs us to rejoicing because he's done so much for us. And God deserves our very best in our praise and worship. And I've said many times that even our very best is less than he deserves. He deserves more than we can give, but we ought to give our best. Now, today we're going to close and talk about the ability of praise. And if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now, that's in the Old Testament, not to be confused with Corinthians in the New, but Chronicles in the Old. It comes after 1 and 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. Chapter 20. If you have a Bible app, you should be able to zip right to it. Chronicles. If you have a Bible, you got to kind of dig a little bit because it's one of those that we don't reference frequently, but it's still the Word of God. And so 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we're going to start at verse 21. And would you please stand as I read the Word of God? We honor God's Word. Here's what it says. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. On the fourth day, they assembled in the Valley of Baraka, where they praised the Lord. This is why it is called the Valley of Baraka to this day. Then, led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lyres and trumpets. The fear of God came on all the surrounding kingdoms when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. All right, you may be seated. The ability of praise. So here we see a great victory. God is orchestrating a victory to the tune of singers praising God. But I want to first give a little bit of the backstory here. This attack actually from the enemy came right after Jehoshaphat started reforming the kingdom. If you go back to chapter 19, you can see there that there's talk about turning back to the Lord and fearing God. There's talk about serving him faithfully and wholeheartedly. And so there's a reform going on. They're trying to get back on track with God. And then the enemy attacks in chapter 20. Okay? In fact, I think it says after this, and a lot of times when we think of, you know, there's reform, there's a revival going on, we would tend to fill in the blank. After this, the power of God came so strong that he blessed their socks off. You know, we would think like that, but that is not what actually happened. Instead, as they're putting their reform into place, there's a revival taking place, the enemy attacks. That's what happened. Success is often followed by severe testing. We just need to come to terms with that and be ready for it. The good news is that if you stand up for God, he's going to stand up for you. And as we follow this story, we'll see how the plans that the enemy had were completely derailed. That's a good reminder for us. The enemy does not like to see us progress in our spiritual walk. And he will often attack when we are actually moving forward with God. Just need to be ready for that, church. In fact, I've been pastoring quite a while now, and we have seen that when people have a kind of a breakthrough with God, it's like the enemy just is ticked off, and he comes against that. And so we've even made it part of our practice when we get people ready to be baptized, we tell them, just so you know, when you get baptized, the devil's going to get ticked off. And he might come against you this week. And so we don't want you to be afraid, because the Bible says the one who's in you is greater than the one who's in the world. But you should just be aware that sometimes when you move forward with God, the enemy's going to come against you. And that's what we see happening here. But Jehoshaphat did not back down. Instead, he turned to God even more. In the beginning of chapter 20, we see that he resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast. He sought the Lord, and he prayed, and he continued to praise and worship God. You see, when things go south for us, we need to remember that is not the time to give up. That is the time to press in even more. Now, this word came to them. Some men came and told them, a vast army is coming. Oh, that's good news, isn't it? There's a vast army coming. Okay, now words can pull you down or they can push you to heaven. And you get to decide how the words are going to affect you. I want to encourage you today to follow Jehoshaphat's example, because these words, although they were fearful and frightening, they actually drove him to pursue God even more. And that ought to be our response as well. In fact, in verse 12 of chapter 20 here it says, we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. That ought to be our response. How many here would acknowledge that there are times in life that things are going so bad, you just don't know what to do? Yeah. That's the time to get your eyes on God, because he knows what to do, even when we don't. And then God responded to Jehoshaphat. In fact, it says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, and he prophesied, the battle is not yours, but it is God's. And he encouraged them to take their positions and stand firm without fear, knowing that the Lord was with them. Now, when we're following Christ and cooperating with the Spirit's leading, God is with us and will not abandon us. And I think there are some in this room that just need to hear that today. God is with you, and he will not abandon you. Now, this story is actually a picture of spiritual warfare. We see people who are determined. They were determined to follow God, but they're being attacked by the enemy. In fact, the enemy is listed in verse 22. It's Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir. And if you do some study on that, it's quite interesting, because Ammon means people and Moab means sons, and Mount Seir is a hairy goat or a demon. Okay? There really is a spiritual enemy, church. There really is. And he is out to destroy you. But Jehoshaphat's name means the Lord is judge. So even though the enemy may come against us, God has the final say. God is in control. And so we understand how the enemy works. He loves to come against us when we're starting to move forward because he doesn't want us to move forward. And so he brings an attack against us. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 says that we are not unaware of his schemes. We know how he operates. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5 says this, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So we make our thoughts obedient to Jesus Christ, and that's the power of warfare. In fact, so when we worship and praise, we are getting ourselves focused on God, and it brings our thoughts, our minds, in line with who he is and what he can do, and that is a form of spiritual warfare simply when we sing praise to God because it captures our thoughts. Psalm 149, verse 1 says, praise the Lord! Sing to the Lord a new song. His praise in the assembly of the saints. And then just a few verses later it says, may the praise of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hand. You see, praise is a form of spiritual warfare, and it's powerful against the enemy. In fact, praise paves the path for great things to happen. In our story, the singers were at the head of the army. That means they were the front line of the army. Now, can you imagine this? Let's put our worship team. Okay, who was on the worship team this morning? Raise your hand. Okay. We're going to put you out in front of SEAL Team 6 to go take out Bin Laden. You guys go first, then SEAL Team 6 is going to follow you up. Okay, we kind of chuckle at that because that seems outrageous. However, that was the kind of confidence these people had because God said the battle was his. So they put the singers first. They were moving forward. They were singing and shouting about how great God is. They were publicly thanking God in spite of their circumstances. They praised God first. Psalm 150, verse 2 says, praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. And then a little bit later it says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. I'm not sure about everybody, but I think most everybody in here is still breathing. So then you've got to praise the Lord, okay? And praise paves the path. When Ezra was rebuilding the temple, he had singers praising God. When Nehemiah was rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem, he had singers praising God. It was a priority. You see, all of our work for the Lord, we need to remember to keep our focus on him and praise him. You know, we understand that serving and working for God are definitely a form of worship, but they can just become other duties. You know, I'm just doing my duty. But instead, we need to make it in our heart that we are focused on who God is and what he has done for us. Praise paves the path. We enter into his presence with praise and thanksgiving. And so it's a priority that sets the stage for God's miracle working power when we praise first. And praise prompts God's power. Proverbs 21, verse 31 says, go ahead and prepare for the conflict, but victory comes from God. Ultimate victory comes from him. It says here back in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 that the Lord set ambushes and then the enemies destroyed each other. Okay? The ambush is to lie in wait. In other words, God was already in place to take out the enemy. He was not surprised. He already had a plan. He was lying in wait for them. The same kind of thing happened for Gideon in Judges chapter 7. All they did was blow trumpets and break some jars. Sounds like a great battle plan, doesn't it? Blow some trumpets, break some jars. But then the enemy destroyed themselves. And remember when Elisha's servant saw a vast army surrounding the city. And Elisha said, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw horses and chariots of fire all around them. Remember that story? Here's the point. God is already with us. He's already here. And so we need to keep on praising him, and that prompts his power. Psalm 8:2 says, praise from children is ordained to silence the foe and the avenger. When kids sing praise to God, the enemy has to shut up. In 1 Samuel 16, David would play his harp and the evil spirit would leave. Isaiah 30:32 says that God fights the enemy to the music of tambourines and harps. When we praise him, God's power comes on the scene. In our story here, Jehoshaphat's men had not even reached the battlefield yet, and the enemy was already destroyed. How do you like that? Hey, we're going out to war. Oh, look, it's already over. That's the kind of war I like to fight. That's the way it was for them. Don't forget that God made them a promise. The battle is not yours, but God's. And so God fought the battle. And the Lord is faithful to all of his promises. He's always faithful. In fact, the scripture says no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. God always keeps his promises. He told them the battle was not theirs, but his. And guess what happened? He took care of it. They didn't have to do anything. There's a story of a man who was in deep despair, and he confessed to his pastor, my life is really in bad shape. How bad? The pastor inquired. And burying his head in his hands, he moaned, I'll tell you how bad. All I've got left is God. And the pastor's face lit up. I'm happy to assure you that a person with nothing left but God has more than enough for great victory. And that was the case in Jehoshaphat's story. So keep on praising God. It prompts his power. And your miracle could be just around the corner. And then praise plunders principalities. It's been said, you can't have a triumph without a trial. You can't have a testimony without a test. And you can't have a great victory until you've gone through a great battle. It's also been said, when God is going to do something wonderful, he chooses a difficulty. When he's going to do something very wonderful, he chooses an impossibility. And when Jehoshaphat and the kingdom was facing this vast army that was coming against them, remember they said, we don't know what to do. We have no power to face this vast army. It was an impossibility. But God was setting up a great victory. And after the enemy destroyed themselves, there was plunder to be taken. The scripture says it was a great amount that was more than they could take away. In fact, it took 3 days to collect it all. Wow. So they went from worrying to worshiping, from fear of losing everything, including their lives, to gathering up so much spoil, it took 3 days to collect it all. Here's the point. God has the ability to rapidly change circumstances. You might be in a situation that seems impossible, but I want you to know that it is not impossible with God. And he can instantly change your circumstance. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, God himself says, see, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. God can instantly change your circumstances. Remember the story in 2 Kings about the siege on Samaria? It was so bad that prices went through the roof and the people actually started to turn to cannibalism. That's how bad it was. Okay? Then the word of the Lord came saying, this time tomorrow. Can you imagine this? It's so bad we're starting to kill each other and eat human flesh. But then God says, tomorrow, things are going to be super cheap. and everything's going to turn around. Well, that was kind of the response. People didn't believe it. There was great doubt, and yet, guess what happened? That time tomorrow, it was exactly like God said. God can rapidly change your circumstances. And so they plundered the enemy. And it says that they took equipment and clothing and articles of value. I think equipment, sometimes when we come through a difficult time, it gives us a new perspective about life, and we even get some new tools that can help us, that can give us new tools to help others that might be in a similar situation. And so we gain godly equipment, if you will, when we go through a difficult time and God carries us through. Clothing, those troubling times can shape us and give us a new perception of our identity in Christ if we will learn from them. And articles of value, there are always lessons to be learned when we face troubles. They can give us a new power to overcome. You know what? What kills you doesn't make you, or what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Get my words all mixed up there. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger if you're following God through it. Okay? So how do you handle your problems? Do you panic? Do you complain? Do you raise your fist in the air and shout at God? Do you begin to doubt? You know, I'm sure all of us have experienced one or other of those things from time to time. But here's the thing. We should go to God in prayer, humility, praise, and trust. And we can see from the story that God had already done great things for these people. And he's already done some great things for you, hasn't he? Now, it might be that Satan has had you in such a hole for so long that you believe there is no solution for your problem. But I want you to know that God always has a plan, and praise plunders the enemy. And then finally, praise produces peace. Here it says, towards the end of the story here, that they returned joyfully. In other words, there was exceeding gladness and pleasure because they had seen God bring them through. I don't want to say this to you. At some point, things will return to a sense of normal for you. Now, it might be a new normal, but it will come if you'll keep on following God. And they rejoiced over their enemies. In other words, they brightened up, they cheered up because they saw what God has done. And one day you will be able to look back with rejoicing that you made it through. There may be some scars, but you can make it. And I know there's people in this room that have gone through some very difficult times, and there's some scars, but you can look back and see how God carried you through, and you're glad you stuck with God all the way through it. Can I get an amen on that? Because I know there's some of you in this room that identify with that. And then it says there was rest on every side. In other words, there was peace and quiet, and things finally settled down. And so many of us long for that because we go through tough times and our life is just in great turmoil, and we look for the day when things will finally settle down. Well, in our story, it did. The old adage says, this too shall pass. But even if it doesn't, there is always the possibility of peace when you trust God and keep coming back to him. In Philippians chapter 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Listen to this. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And in Isaiah 26, verse 3, it says, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. You see, true peace comes from trusting Jesus. This kind of peace goes beyond the kind of peace that comes when everything is going your way. Okay, when everything's going your way, that's kind of easy to be at peace. Hey, living on top of the world, everything's going my way. But I'm talking about the kind of peace that can occur even in the midst of troubles. When you really trust Jesus, it doesn't matter what comes your way because you know that he's got this and he is still in control. You see, there is power and ability in praise. Praise paves the path and prompts God's power to plunder principalities and ultimately produce peace in you.
To struggle that shatters all your dreams, and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested schemes, and you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fears. Don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear. Praise the Lord. He can work through those who praise him. Praise the Lord. For our God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord. For those chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you that they drop powerless behind you when you praise him. Now Satan is a liar, and he wants to make us think that we are paupers, when he knows himself we're children of the King. So lift up the mighty shield of faith, for the battle must be won. We know that Jesus Christ has risen, so the work's already done. Praise the Lord. He can work through those who praise him. Praise the Lord. For our God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord. For those chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you that they drop powerless behind you when you praise him. Praise the Lord. He can work through those who praise him. Praise the Lord. For our God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord. For the chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you that they drop powerless behind you when you praise him. Praise him. Praise him. When you praise him. When you praise him. When you
see, there's real power in praise. If we just put God first, he's got things in control. Nothing's too hard for God. So let's always keep our focus on him. There's power in praise. And so, God, we thank you this morning for what you have done and what you continue to do. And we understand that no circumstance is too much for you. But we can always look to you in our time of need, and you are right there. In fact, you are ahead of the curve. You're lying in wait for the enemy. God, we thank you that the victory is in your hands, and all we have to do is trust you and praise you because you've got it. Help us, Lord, to put our trust in you and let you fight the battle for us while we simply praise you. God, you are worthy of glory and honor. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And there is nothing that is too difficult for you. You are Almighty God. You have all power. And the enemy has no power that can stand against you. In fact, you have the power to defeat him just by the words of your mouth. We give you glory and honor, God. We acknowledge who you are. And we praise you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for what you've done in our lives. Now you've already given us victory as we've come to you and follow you. Lord, I pray that you continue to lead us in victory in the days ahead. And we will give you praise and glory and honor in all of our circumstances because we know ultimately you are in control. And so we praise you and we honor you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, yet again today, we give ourselves to you as the ultimate form of our worship. We just offer ourselves to you and we say, yes, Lord Jesus, have your way in me. Use me as you see fit. I surrender to you. I praise you, Lord. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. And God's blessings on you. Have a great week and keep on praising God.